Midnight Equestrian.
Midnight Equestrian. He was a promising intellect. He was a promising intellect, a passionate advocate for good public policy, a poet with world-class ambition. He turned it all in for a handful of horses. This was composed the evening of the day he caused his second heart attack, May the 30th, which didn't manifest itself until June the 11th.
You could see that on a tombstone.
Yeah. Right.
I guess a devastating fire and a heart and your third heart attack might make you think about death a little bit.
I read this little poem the night before when I was doing my little epigrammatic stuff. The International Debt. Everything we are and everything we hope to be, we owe to horses.
Which leads to the next poem, the naming. I don't know if it's the next poem in the book, but the next poem I'd like you to read, the naming of horses. Is that what it's
the
called?
The naming of the horses? Yes. The naming of the horses. Each horse deserves a name as exquisite as his or her soul. Since you will be saying them over and over again, make them beautiful as only horse souls are. Shandalupa out of Apache by Foz is a Chinese mountain merged into an Arabian desert on the Celtic peninsula of Iberia. Shandalupa. We sing the praises. We sing the praises of the distances you've come. Pisimarai is a river and a valley with a single grove of trees. When my great-grandparents, Robert Luttrell Jones and Clara Florence Lewis Jones, homesteaded in the 1880s near Goldberg, Futasan is a filly with the feminine mispronunciation of the Japanese word for real estate, Fudo-san, for products that don't move. Born not much bigger than a rabbit, Fuda moves her hooves across the real estate. Her English name is Flying Spider. That's Fuda's baby that was running, that was so impressive, with a little white butt. Her name is Watnu.
And the little colt's name here?
The colt's name is Watnu.
How do you spell that?
W-A-A-T-N-U-W-A-S. I dropped the S, but it means spirit-seeking place. It's Shahapton Indian.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful feeling when I see you read that. I mean, I love the poem. That's why I asked you to read it. But to see you read it, it's also a beautiful thing. I was asked to read for a whole 2 minutes at a party. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I've got time for two short poems. One by McClure from his new book, which I have in my bag and I can read to you later. But then I also read this poem, and this was the first poem I read. And I tried to channel my inner Charles Potts when I read it. And I read it in Seattle on Capitol Hill. Uh-huh. So imagine an audience that's not particularly religious
right.
or theological or however you want to say it. But it's this poem here, The Hermiston Horse Sale.
Right, The Hermiston Horse Sale. Standing in front of steel stud pens, a man and his son from Eklund, Missouri, inquire about the bloodlines of my horses. Preliminary to flashing me his holier-than-thou card, the father says with gray beard earnestness, "May I ask where you worship?" Up to my knees in horseshit and Christians, I reply, "Right here where I'm standing."
You know, and that's true.
It is true. The thing, it's not made up.
It's not made up. It's not an opportunity to take an easy shot at Christians.
No.
It's what you really believe.
Just a way to keep them from getting on my, just a way to assert my presence standing there being as good as or better than. Or equal to.
At least equal to.
Equal to. That's all I'm saying is that I'm equal to. Yeah.
And this is the way you worship. Yeah. And anyone whose heart is working halfway can see that, don't you think?
Yeah, they should be able to.
So what you're saying here in pure imagery is that your religion doesn't seem to be working if you can't recognize this.
Right.
Yeah. It's what
that's a good way to put it.
It's what I get from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can see if you have basic human perception, you can see the love that you put into this.
Yeah.
I love that poem. It's really brilliant. I almost thought this should be the first thing you read so people can get a sense of your wit and your ability to nail down a poem and nail down an ending, which may be unparalleled. I think there's... the next one is The Well-Fed Horses of Dufu. Now, before we get into this, you know, you lived in Japan for a year with your wife and daughter, and you're very interested in Chinese poetry. You've brought Chinese poets here to Walla Walla and to mm-hmm. Seattle. Can you tell us when you first got an interest in ancient Chinese poetry?
I did some Li Bai translations with a really fine poet who passed away very young named David Wong. He was from New Mexico. He used to do poetry readings with katas and pinions of people performing martial arts behind him. I can't remember the title of his book, but I met him with Ricardo Sanchez and Abelardo Delgado 45 years ago in New Mexico. And my interest in Chinese poetry came from a guy I don't often give enough thanks to, Ezra Pound, with the Cathay poems. Now, there were a lot of mistakes in there. I mean, they're attributed to Rikau, who was in fact Li Bai, but it's a lovely poem with my hair cut straight across my forehead. Li Bai is really, really good. And these poems I translated with David Wong were Li Bai poems, and I also rendered a poem called Changsha that Mao Zedong wrote into Chinese, or into English, and David Wong really liked it. It's the title poem of Mao's most important book of poems, Changsha. Mao was a great poet. And that he had to become who he was. The first half of his life, it's an unqualified success up until 1949. You know, he was the right person for the revolution, the wrong executive to try to keep running it. Not that he got any help from the southern assholes who run our system. They might just as well have moved into China with the Marshall Plan in 1950.
Or as my dad said in a poem that I quoted in 2006, the Chinese will take us over without firing a shot.
Well, or everybody's favorite line from across the North Pacific, we'll surrender to the Chinese and Spanish.
Yes, which I've quoted once or twice.
You know,
it's accurate. Here's the poem.
The Well-Fed Horses of Dufu. In Wuling, their robes are light and their horses are well fed. From Dufu, translated by Red Pine, from Poems of the Masters, China's classic anthology of Tang and Song dynasty verse. Turns out, on closer examination, that the horses in Dufu's Autumn Inspiration 2 are not Dufu's at all, but those of successful old friends from his youth. I should give up a $1 million title. For the granular truth, I hear my horses dancing on the land. When I was 16 in 1959, bankruptcy was circling in on my family. Forced to sell at auction our ranch and everything on it to satisfy Republican creditors driving new cars and wearing silk clothes, such as light, i.e. silk robes, as in Dufu above. Everything on it included my horses. 48 years without any horses. 8 years ago, I bought 4, and spring of 2016, I will have 5 foals. I'm still deep in debt, successful enough, in a banker's opinion, to feed my horses well.
Living well is the best revenge, huh?
Eh?
Living well is the best revenge.
Well, I have a cousin who, I went back to my 50th high school class reunion. And he was a year younger than I was.
What school was that?
It was Mackey High School.
In?
The Mackey Miners. And speaking of my...
In what town?
Mackey, Idaho.
Mackey.
My great-grandfather was a bookkeeper for the IWW. at the end of these lines. And I'm just reading about Luther, who we've talked about here, is that was all done with mines, metal. And the word Luther in German means loose woman, which is why he changed it to Luther. I just read that. That's hilarious. But what was I getting at here? There was a
high school reunion.
High school reunion of my cousin, who was somehow bogused out of a letter that he had earned in either track or basketball or something. He didn't get it. He got it at this reunion. And our coach was back there, who was still alive, who was a young man when we were, he was only in his 20s when we were teenagers, so he was still around. He gives this guy his letter, finally, and it acknowledges that the books had been wrongly kept and that Ray Kent deserved this letter.
In
a high school letter. You know,
like a athletic.
Like an athletic
for baseball.
You know, or, I earned a letter. You know, I'm a letterman.
For football. Or
yeah.
Football.
And so, and they said, and Ray comes up and they said, well, you've got to say something. He said, I guess all I can say is that the longer you have to wait for something, the sweeter it is.
Yeah.
You get it. I said, Jesus, I didn't know you were a philosopher,
yeah, no
Ray.
No kidding.
It was nice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, I've written